I'm going to call the Labor Committee meeting for March 11th to order. Just for posterity, those that are here, we'll just do a quick attendance. Sean Meskey.
Rick Fagerly for Fernando.
Kathy Schwantes.
Vicki Davis.
Samantha Beckman.
All right. First item on our agenda today is public comment. Seeing none, we'll move on to items 3 and 4 are repeat items that were on here because they still are unresolved. We did ask for some additional information for how compensation is done across units of employment for the city. You will have an attachment that we've received last time, basically outlining the department heads by ordinance. And then you also have information about salary structures as far as department chairs are concerned. And then the big piece of information that we had asked for, put together here, Samantha, put together a beautiful spreadsheet showing you the various units as well as the benefits of each of those units and, where appropriate, a range of possible amounts or value for those particular pieces. If you've not had a chance to look at that, please do so. I applaud Samantha's efforts on this. Mm-hmm. If we make any of these changes, that's great. If we do not, that's fine. But we do have the groundwork set as well for bargaining. You'll have all of this on one sheet. So the work is not for anything or for nothing. But we do want to resolve these issues and move forward instead of continuing to delay them. And so if you've had a chance to look these over, maybe Samantha, do you want to just give some general information of what you've compiled here? And then if we have questions, we can ask of that.
Yeah. Sure. So we have the full department head policy, too, also in your packet in case there's anything in that you need to look through as well. And then in the spreadsheet comparing the department heads to all of the other contracts, I do have all of the identical benefits listed first, just because that's kind of a wash. The similar benefits, again, it's kind of one or the other, like some departments do get a vehicle allowance. However, all of the other bargaining units do get mileage reimbursement, or in some cases are even assigned city vehicles. So it's not necessarily comparing apples to apples, but very similar benefits. And then as far as the bigger differences, first ones being listed are benefits that definitely have a department head advantage. First one being, like we discussed last time, they do progress through the vacation structure quicker, more quickly, actually, I think is the right way to say that. Otherwise, everyone is capped at 25 days annually once you hit 15 years. So the end game is the same, but the department heads do progress faster through that schedule. And the department heads and supervisors also have 2 personal days annually that the other units do not. Those do not carry over, non-transferable, can't be donated. You use it or lose it. After that, I listed all of the benefits that the other bargaining units have that the department heads, due to the nature of being exempt, don't have. Right. And in some cases, like the sick leave cash out and the option of putting that in health care savings plan, they actually do not have that option. So that is just something they are not allowed to have, as well as a longer probationary period. But then, yeah, that's, I guess, it in a nutshell. And at the very bottom, I do have pay ranges for every city position listed annually.
Questions?
You commented that some of these are due to exempt status. Could you explain what that means in case someone's not familiar with that?
Yes. Yep. So every department head is exempt, meaning they are paid a salary. You don't ever get overtime if you work more than 8 hours in a day or more than 40 hours in a week. You're paid to do a job rather than paid to work a certain amount of hours. So exempt means you're salaried. Non-exempt basically can mean hourly is what other people call it. So you're paid per hour to be there. But then to kind of compensate for that, a lot of the unions do have, you get overtime after 8 hours in one day. You do get callback pay. You get holiday pay. In addition to if you you get holiday pay for the holiday, then if also you're called in to work that holiday, you get time and a half for all hours worked, minimum of 2 hours paid. So a lot of these are compensating for the fact that they are hourly employees, shift differentials, specialist pay, all that stuff. So, and then comp time is another thing that I wasn't familiar with before I came to the city, but that you have the option of banking comp time rather than being paid overtime if you should work more than 8 hours in one day. So then that ninth hour, you could either have paid out as an overtime rate, or you could put 1.5 hours into a comp bank. And those 1.5 hours can be used kind of like vacation time. Whenever there's down periods and your supervisor approves, you would use comp time rather than a vacation time, too.
And that's very customary for salaried versus hourly employees, correct? That's not an unusual thing.
Oh, comp time. Well, this is the first I've seen it.
All these items that you referred to, like not getting paid for overtime, that kind of thing. That's very typical of a salaried position.
Yeah, yeah. Salaried positions, you don't get paid overtime. By definition, you don't ever work overtime, no matter how many hours you work. You're paid to do a job rather than to work a certain amount of hours, is how you're supposed to view salaried or exempt employees.
And so what prompted our discussion of these two items was the department had sick leave policy, had not been addressed for a long period of time. Page 4, if you're looking at your contract for department heads, and specifically that number is in the last sentence, should be limited to 820 hours. As you know, with the last rounds of negotiations, which you will see on the spreadsheet, that the 820 hours for the other units has changed in all cases. Now that 820 is the lowest of all of those pieces. The highest is 900, and you can see that what supervisors are 850, general units 840. What's LELS?
Law enforcement labor.
And what are they at?
I can't. PD is 840.
Oh, 840.
As well.
Yeah. And so the suggestion was to adjust the department chair sick leave policy to be reflective of at least the maximum of the other units, in that they are the higher classification unit of all of the people that we have here. And this has not been addressed, and we haven't modified this for
at least 8 years, most likely longer, but that was all the farther back easily accessible records went, was 8 years. So I can guarantee it has not increased for 8 years, but most likely much longer than that.
And so this comes as a recommendation from our HR director to update that policy to allow 900 hours of sick leave upon separation of service. Samantha, how many employees would we currently have eligible for this, and what kind of amounts would that be if we were to change this?
Yep. So today, employees eligible for it, it would be three. There's only three department heads who have the years of service and that many sick leave hours banked. So three employees is who it would affect today. There are six department heads total. So the most it could ever affect would be six employees.
And the if that extra 80 hours, again, I know it's going to be variable based on what their salary is.
Yes.
But if they're maxed, the most expensive employee we have, $129,000, most likely, what kind of money is
Let's
that?
See.
What does that 129,000?
Well, I'm quickly looking at the pay ranges of who we have here.
Okay, pay range.
I'm looking at the top pay range.
I didn't think it was hours.
No hours.
No, that, yeah.
But I'm looking at that. That okay. Seems like that's the highest salary we pay. So how many that would be?
If they were at the maximum possible on the pay scale and they had the additional 80 hours to cash out, it's $4,961.
Okay. So if everybody was even eligible at this current moment, all six department heads were the maximum, it's going to be much less than that for each of the other ones, but we're looking at a maximum probably of a 20,000, maybe 20 to 22,000 for all six employees, if they were all eligible
and they all
left at the same time.
At the same time, yeah, all of that.
Would that be 30,000?
If there are six, almost
5,000?
They're not close to that upper range. Mm-hmm.
That is also true. Only one is at that range,
right.
So I guess it would be
That's
less.
That's what I was just quickly looking
yep.
is. Perfect. Taking money off of the top. Yes.
And I just want to remind us, I don't have the figures here, but Sam had done a comparison for other communities, and it was like 600 and some hours was the highest that the other ones had.
That is in there, too.
It's in here.
It's in there, but
yeah.
But the, I mean, again...
Those are
Again, apples and apples. I mean, those were not just simply, that's all employees were eligible for that. Mm-hmm. And so as a collective sum, every employee would be eligible for that benefit. So the expense to a city could be much greater.
Yeah.
What happens when someone gets $900 then?
They've accrued that much.
Yep.
They just stop accruing until they start using it. If they used 16 hours or 2 days worth of sick time, then they would start accruing again. But once you hit the maximum amount you can accrue, it just stops the accrual automatically.
So you don't have a catastrophe fund?
If they
get more than 900?
No.
At 900, anything over, you could put into a separate fund?
Right. So there's, with the other unions, there's a cap. There used to be that deferred bank. It might be what you're thinking of. They got rid of the deferred bank completely and made it all one bank. This is all of your time that you have to use.
Vacation and?
Vacation, you can accrue up to, it's like twice your annual accumulation. Vacation's a different animal, and it's a lot less that you can accrue compared to sick leave. But yeah, so that's your maximum accrual amount.
If I remember correctly, that was $2,000 for the deferred comp, and we added that onto people's annual salary, correct?
That was something different.
Okay.
We had that deferred bank is the reason you're seeing these increases when the amounts increased for the other unions. It's because they had that deferred bank, too, that they could cash out. And when we lumped it all into one, that made this is your cash out number is 840 instead of 720 because we're getting rid of this deferred bank that you're accruing sick leave in any longer.
Okay, so I have another question. So was that $2,000 we added to each, was that for department heads only or was that across the board?
That was department heads and supervisors. And then there's actually three employees out there who are kind of in limbo now from when we broke up the department head supervisor group. Those three were told they didn't fit in either, so it was those three as well. It was $2,000 added to their salary, and the deferred comp match was discontinued.
So, what do we wish to do with this particular piece? To do nothing is to maintain it at 820. Or you have any option to move it. I don't know what other information one would need to make that decision.
We have a lot of information. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, looking at the two issues, as they are separate. However, I can see, personally, I would support number three and not number four. But looking at it collectively.
Well, the police department, if they're at 840, the next contract, you know they'll be coming to ask for 900.
Well, they all are going to want to.
Yeah.
It ain't just the police. It's going to be supervisors will be asking for 900, and
General
will ask for 900. Of course, they all will.
Yeah.
But, okay, aren't they union, those ones? And
yeah, they will have to be bargained.
Yeah, you're not obligated to.
But I think it does create this inequity when, right or wrong, we put one of them at 900 and then you have the department heads sitting backwards and haven't been touched for this long, and we have that ability, and I get that we have the ability to do it by ordinance, which means we can single this one out, and all the mistakes that perhaps people feel was made during negotiations, we can hold them accountable for that. But I don't know if that's, in my estimation, maybe necessarily the right thing to do.
Oh, so I'm not sure where the three and the four are that you're referring to. I must be missing something in here for options. But quite frankly, I still feel
on the agenda.
You just met on the agenda.
I'm talking about number.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha now. I thought that there were options.
No, there are no.
On the write out, but
no.
I still feel that piecemealing bits and pieces here and there is not a wise thing to do. I would rather wait for the entire compensation package study to be completed, and I know that's a ways out there, but then we're making a decision based on the total package and not a piece here or a piece there that we later then have to come back and have weakened our position in negotiating contracts. But I think that it's a it is less than what the public works folks are receiving. But 820 hours is still a really decent benefit to be receiving, and I would rather that we waited till we had the whole picture and made an informed decision based off of total compensation.
For the department heads, though, we have had that just in the recent past.
I emailed that out. I didn't include it. It would be too cumbersome to put in the packet, but I did email that study from 2016 out to everyone.
But that was salaries, not total compensation, right?
Oh, that one.
So I'm talking all benefits and everything?
I can call Ann and I can confirm, but the one that they're doing right now for us, the same company, is including all benefits and everything. That's for a different union. So I would assume that the study they did in 2016 also incorporates all of the benefits from the other cities as well. I can confirm that with her, but I know the one that they're doing right now for General and Public Works does. So I would assume that study she did back in 2016 also did.
When we did the department heads, it was a complete compensation
okay.
study.
So is that in here?
That's the one
that's
that
the one
I emailed
really
out. Cause that's
emailed,
a,
that you emailed out, so that
yeah,
would be this
it's
one.
It's a whole bunch of tabs.
Yep.
Yep. That's the one from 2016.
And so, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, Kathy. I just believe that that was done. And the one piece that was the omission is just this piece. And that's why I'm comfortable with that part of it in this whole discussion. If you want to move this to, if you feel it's necessary to make it $850, at least it's the second in line and you're moving it in the right direction, mm-hmm. if a $900 makes people uncomfortable. But we haven't addressed this particular piece. Back when we did the compensation study, we also didn't address this particular piece. It's the only piece that has been untouched. And so I don't know if I would describe it as piecemeal because we have addressed the total compensation in the past.
So where am I missing department heads on this?
I think it listed out by title. They should all be listed on there?
Yeah, the individual.
Okay, so it doesn't take it as a total. Okay, all right.
And then that's one thing I want to point out, that this isn't an automatic when you retire, you get this amount of hours. It's only if you have that much accrued and unused in your bank, similar to your vacation time. So it is hours that they've accrued, and if they had been sick, would have been paid out to them as they were sick and using them. So it's not just a blanket, everyone will get this.
Yeah, it's not an extra benefit. These are hours they clearly didn't use, and they accrued them. So that's why, I guess for me, I'm fine with this particular proposal, even at 900, but a number under, if it makes it people comfortable, that's fine. But if we're not going to act on this, then let me know that if we're not going to move anything forward, so it can just come off the agenda, because I don't want to burden the HR director with more information to gather if there's no appetite to do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. So the police are at 840.
Yes.
The police are at 840 is correct.
Okay, so why wouldn't we do 840?
You can make that as a motion.
I'll make that motion.
There's a motion to move the termination death benefit for department chairs as appears in 7.4 from 840, or from 820 to 840, and striking in 992 and thereafter, which we've talked about in the past.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That carries. We'll move that to the next council meeting. Next item is...
So thank you for sending this out now that I understand.
Yeah.
Pay scale maximums. Again, we've asked for this before, and this was the discussion of whether or not we should be paying anything over the maximum salary that we defined as a council, because we did define a maximum. Going over that caused some issues with legal counsel, which we have heard a response, which was?
In a nutshell, they would highly recommend not ever exceeding a pay scale maximum for an employee. If you are setting them, then you need to stick with them, basically, is what he's saying. Because all other issues aside, I mean, we do have for sure over a dozen, probably about 20 employees who are already at their pay scale maximum across the city. So if you should not look at it one by one on a case-by-case basis. What you do for one, you should do for all.
Is there any appetite to move that pay scale maximum and have the flexibility of moving it above. And again, after this, I would like this to come off of here as well. If there's not an appetite to do that, well, again, I do not want the HR director gathering more information for a decision that we ultimately will not be doing anyway.
They still get a cost of living raise.
Yes, yes. But any cost of living that's negotiated would automatically happen 1-1 of the next year. But that is would be it.
Hearing no appetite for that, we will consider that to be as our policy currently reads. Number 5, City Administrator Review Update. This is regarding last meeting. We had a recommendation that perhaps community members be solicited for response through survey instruments. We had definitely discussion and disagreement amongst the council members, but we thought legal counsel should chime in on that as well. HR Director Beckman, if you please.
Yep, so I spoke with our labor attorney as well as an HR representative from the League of Minnesota Cities, and they both tried as nicely to say it. They do not recommend doing a formal process where we contact community members to review the administrator. I know when I asked the League of Minnesota Cities representative, she had mentioned that it's more of an informal process that they go through, like council members individually can certainly and have and should have conversations with community leaders about what the city's doing well, what it can do better, and then can use that information. Because we do have specifically on the review a section for community relations for the council to review the administrator on. And so that's the information that they would use when conducting their performance evaluation. And the attorney was the same way. He actually, it was over email, so he actually did recommend a 360 review, which is what we implemented last year. So that would be great to continue that too. I think that's it in a nutshell. The league did say if it is something that you definitely wanted to pursue, though, she'd like to have council members have a conversation with her director so that they could maybe talk about how it could be done as easily as possible or the right way to do it. You just have to be very careful about how you would do that and possibly hire an outside consultant to do it. But yeah, that's kind of where we left it.
I think hiring an outside consultant to do this is absolutely crazy, especially in light of how we've just dealt with this process. And that's sort of what somebody in your position is supposed to do. So if they're saying that's a bad idea and we can incorporate it informally under the piece that's already on there, as long as council members know, they need to actually then respond to that particular piece and give information there. Because I can tell you from the past that a lot of times comments were not so frequently made on those reviews. So I'm comfortable with that. Others, questions, comments about...
Do we have the forms piece? Yet?
What's that?
Have you sent out the forms yet?
They
went out in a packet so we could see them. But they're going to go out officially. Is it May? No, it's April.
It's at the end of this month.
Okay, yeah. So I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, no. We said that. You're not behind it yet. So, anybody opposed to that process? We'll stick with what we have it. But if we're going to do community involvement, do that informally and make sure you make those comments on the evaluations. So it's something we can talk about when we get to that point.
But you don't want us to name community members that we talk to?
That's completely up to you.
You're filling out the form. Yeah. If you've talked to X, Y, and Z and they have comments that you think are relevant, I'd put that down. That's just a confidential evaluation.
Yep.
It might be a courtesy to ask their permission to use their name in it.
Yeah.
But
well, I would assume that any comments that would go from your evaluation to the actual city administrator would be redacted of names like that.
Yep, that could be done.
You can ask to do that for sure. If those questions aren't asked, I wouldn't want to send them no matter what. But
so their name shared with the council, but not shared with the administrator.
Right.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Okay. Next item is upcoming projects. I will also apologize. I'm going to have to depart here momentarily. I have another commitment at 6 o'clock I got to get to. Unfortunately, the vice chair is Fernando, and he is not here.
Do we have upcoming projects?
Well, she's going to talk for a little bit. Yeah, it's not me. And I don't know what the upcoming projects are, but I'm assuming that we're not going to act on them. So, with your permission, I don't know who needs to be the chair.
Because need a vice.
You are all in the same level here that nobody is the vice chair. Do rock, paper, scissors, but it doesn't feel as professional as it should be. Why don't you just start? Yeah,
it's just a quick list.
Somebody's just going to adjourn.
It ties in a little bit, actually, with the sick leave policy that I want to ask if you'd like to do that now or later. But as I mentioned before, we have those three employees who are out in limbo. And right now, they don't really have a policy relating to them, their vacation leave and sick leave and all of this. So that is an upcoming project I have that we need to spell that out. And what I'm hoping will be a handbook that will then be universal to department heads, non-represented, and all employees in general. So if you're comfortable with that, we could make the resolution for the 840 sick leave hours applicable to those three as well. And we would just call the resolution a non-represented resolution. That's something our attorney has been asking me to do very frequently. So if we could get that in, if you're comfortable adding those three employees. If not, we can address them with the handbook.
And what are their positions again?
It is the administrative assistant at the PD, county coordinator, and the city clerk.
Currently, all their benefits are determined by
resolution, because when we did that resolution specifying the department head benefits, we made it all non-represented employees.
But are they all the same as the department chairs?
Yes. Yes.
Then I would not have a problem with the 840 if we're treating them that way anyway.
Yeah.
There's no reason to
penalize
them further and say, and you three, by the way, are 820 when everybody else in the organization's minimally 840.
Perfect. Okay. And that was kind of my biggest upcoming project is we'll need to just get those spelled out, whether it's by resolution. Ultimately, I want it to be a handbook. I've got the first couple pages of that made that I'd like to bring here and let you guys dig through. We also have the compensation study for the general unit and public works unit. Those results are going to be done very, very, very soon. So that will be upcoming to bring to a labor committee. And those are the big ones. I just wanted to get those out there that those are coming.
You can even deal with it now, but if you rather wait for the book to come out, it's fine.
Yeah, that's just the, however you want to address it.
A discussion item when we get there.
So the pay equity, we don't include Rice Hospital now.
Correct. So when we will have to file pay equity 2020, January of 2020 is when our report is due. And yes, we'll no longer include the hospital. So since that's going to really take a lot of employees off our plate, I actually preemptively have a meeting scheduled with Springstead, who did our pay equity report last time. I have a meeting scheduled with her for June to kind of do a dry run and see if there's any issues that come up so that we have 6 months to correct that before we have to file. So. Okay.
Any other upcoming projects?
Those are the big ones.
All right. Questions about the upcoming projects?
Do you need a motion for those three?
Well, I think she's going to bring them.
Just saying they're coming.
Okay.
Yep. They'll be on agendas very, very soon.
All right,
I just kind of want to give you a heads up.
Item on the agenda is miscellaneous. Are there anything additional that we need to look at this time? I think we may want to share more widely your spreadsheet. I think that is something that would be valuable for everyone to see. So I would ask that perhaps we just put that in the packet so people have a copy of that, because I think that is
this
a nice synopsis. Yeah, okay. That thing is nice. Yeah.
Anything else, actually, since we're talking about it, anything else, all of it, some of it, you want to go in the council packet? Just I'll put whatever you would like in there.
We definitely already have had many times the sick leave piece of this that we're actually doing the change to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and haven't we have put into the packet before the department chair or department heads pieces?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then I say you probably wouldn't need to redo that one. But for sure, this new document I think is very, very valuable.
Okay. I will do that.
Anybody else?
That's fine.
Okay.
Anything additional to come before labor to this evening? All right, this is a record. All right, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
second.
Moved and seconded quietly. We are adjourned. Thank you for your attention and your attendance this evening.
See, that wasn't so tough.
Oh, I get out of here now.
I would guess. Yeah, you better. Other new council members have never seen this.
That's okay. True, Kayla.
And I did not think it could be what I thought it was because of the differential column.
Yeah.
That's a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
And it's something we're going to have to address in the future. But, so I think it might be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's appropriate to email it out to the other new members who have not seen it before. That being, Fernanda would have seen it. So Julie would be the only one, I guess, without seeing it.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe in a future mini-retreat, we don't just address all of these elements.
Yeah, because... Yeah. How do we make this adjustment to make it set it right?
And that's
still
just
be able to afford it.
If you, when you see the other ones, you know, it's the same eye-opening experience.
Okay. Yeah, maybe when we get them all.